Hello, hello, how everybody doing? Hope everybody had a awesome 420. I wonder how much you guys actually out there who actually parked your trucks on behalf of 420. Hopefully by next year we can actually do better to actually make a stance on some of the things that, you know, drivers believe in. However, in the trucking news, truckers have faced lengthy detours after a Colorado U.S. 50 bridge was closed indefinitely due to cracking. I'm sure we got a lot of work to do on a lot of the infrastructures, the bridges that are in the states here, particularly, you know, even though the bridge, the situation that happened in Baltimore with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, that wasn't due to, you know, the bridge not being up to par. However, it does shed light on, you know, the infrastructure, you know, in the states, in the United States. I think a lot more money needs to go to making sure that, you know, the bridges that we travel across day to day are safe. And, you know, I think there definitely needs, you know, to be a lot more, you know, inspections on a lot of these, the infrastructure of the bridges in, you know, in the United States. What I wanted to talk about also was that, you know, the AB5 law that was in effect, you know, that was in California, which, you know, meant that a lot of companies could not, you know, have drivers that were owner operators. They either had to be an owner operator, independent owner operator, or they had to be a employee. Now, I personally think, you know, for something like this, this actually, in my opinion, works in the favor of a driver. Because if you are a driver and you are working for a company, you come in as an employee, as a regular driver, then obviously they take care of your, you know, your taxes and all that, because you coming in as a employee, and a lot of times they offer you a lease option to get a truck. Now, the thing with that is that the company, you know, you're leasing a truck through a company and as an owner operator, but most of the time you're only able to run for that company. They put you in the positions where you're owner operator, and you now are obligated because you have this truck payment that runs you roughly about $700, I would imagine, a week, and everything. So you're obligated to run and for that company, you know. And the thing is, they don't, that you're responsible for everything because you're under a 1099, obviously. So, you know, how, and I think as being an owner operator, you shouldn't be bounded to a company just because you leased the truck through them. And it all works out. I mean, yeah, it's a great tactic on behalf of a trucking company, because now they get the benefit of you being a independent contractor with a truck that is leased directly through them. So you pay the lease payment on that truck directly through them. And you don't have the option to just go and deliver for somebody else. You're being dispatched directly through that company that you work for. So, I mean, can you see the irony in that? So I think that, you know, to me, I think it gives the driver more leverage. Look, either hire me as an employee or either hire me as an independent contractor with my own truck, and I can go and pick up loads from pretty much anybody I want. I don't have to be dispatched directly through you guys. I think that's kind of where the issue lies with, you know, the reason why this law came in effect, where companies could not do that. It's, hey, you either got to, you know, make me an employee, or you either, or I'm either an independent contractor, you know, on my own. And, you know, and I just feel like it's to the driver's advantage and stuff, because you don't have that obligation and you're not bound to just that, you know, that one company. So now also we have a situation where on to other news here, we have a situation where a 26-year-old Lima man is facing murder charges for a deadly shooting at a Kitchen Enterprises trucking company. The 26-year-old, I believe his name is Connor Duckley, he was charged with aggravated murder, murder and attempted murder in Putnam County Municipal Court Friday morning. Duckley bond was set at $1 million. His case will be presented to a Putnam County grand jury in the future for possible additional charges. And deputies were called to the Kitchen Enterprise Trucking Company in Leipzig just after 4 p.m. on Thursday, where they found a 30-year-old Farah Kreninger of Deschler killed, and a 54-year-old Michael Kitchens of Ottawa injured from gunshot wounds. Kitchens was taken to Mercy Health St. Rita's for treatment, and his condition is unknown. Duckley fled the scene and was later arrested in rural Allen County. Duckley is currently in the Putnam County Jail. The case is still under investigation. So, you're not obviously getting people out there that want to do harm, you know, while you're on the road. You know, this is obviously was... you know, somewhere else, you know, at Kitchens Enterprise Trucking Company. This was actually, you know, in the company itself. You never know what this may have to do with. I'm not sure if this guy was a employee. Obviously, the situation is under further investigation. I'm not sure if he was a driver who was upset about something. But... you know, I can say that there are so many drivers that are in this business that are like dealing with so much stress and pressure. The pressure of being in this industry is crazy. And it seemed like they could just, you know, I can't, obviously this guy was pretty upset to do what he did. But for example, just speaking on the industry as a whole, how this industry can just drive people to the, doing the unthinkable, just in the same, such as when we had the gentleman who, You know, well, obviously that was a license branch, but this guy drives a semi into, you know, into a facility and injuring people, I think actually killing one person. But what is it about this industry that is like, you know, that makes people, you know, just have such short temper? I also seen a situation where a driver was going down a road and, you know, and actually was actually shooting at another driver that was passing alongside of him. And it's like, you know, granted, I mean, we're not safe just about anywhere, but there's a lot within the trucking business that attracts a great deal of, you know, people being very sensitive. You know, is the trucking business pretty much, does it puts people on the edge that much? I mean, granted, I can see how it does. You know, that is definitely the truth. I can definitely see how the way the trucking business is ran, I can see how it is definitely puts people in a situation where they are quick to basically just, you know, fly off the handle. You know what I mean? But it's unfortunate. And I don't know if this like just come from people being out there long term and they just be so fed up and, you know, and the least little thing, you know, it's like, you know, because they've been dealing with so much and then the first opportunity given where they're faced with a situation that buildup just caused them to actually just, you know, explode and do the unthinkable. Now, also, when we talk about, you know, the number of truck-related crashes, deaths, you know, have increased in 2022. And while the numbers of people who died in traffic crashes declined in 2022, the numbers who died in the crashes involving large trucks increased. According to the, you know, the figures reported by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, there were 716 fewer people killed in motor vehicle traffic crashes on U.S. roadways during 2022, a 1.7% decrease from the 43,230 in 2021, so just a slight margin, to 42,514 in 2022. However, the Safety Administration reported 5,936 people were killed in crashes involving large trucks in 2022, up from the 5,821 in 2021. The numbers of large truck occupants who died in crashes in 2022 increased by 8.5% to 1,097 fatalities. The agency defines large trucks as commercial and non-commercial trucks with a gross vehicle weight over 10,000 pounds. Other vehicles occupants killed in crashes with large trucks decreased by just 0.2% to the 4,167 non-occupants, motorcyclists, pedestrians, bicyclists, and others killed in crashes involving large trucks increased by 6% in 2021 to a total of 872. Additionally, the number of people injured in crashes involving large trucks also increased by 5,795 year over year, a 3.7% increase to the 160,608. There were 41,874 large truck occupants injured in crashes, down 0.7%. And from 118,735 other vehicle occupants and non-occupants injured, up 5.4% from 2021. Now, I wonder what this can be the cause of. Because, like I said, the clearinghouse started in 2020. You know, and we've had an increase in accidents since. We've had an increase, not, you know, a decrease. There has been a lot more accidents. You have a lot more safe drivers that are sitting out. And now, and what I don't understand again is, like, how is it that, like, a lot of companies, like, well, how is it that because of people, what they do on their off time, how is it that they are diminished as quality drivers? Why are they diminished to quality drivers? We went from drivers not being able to drive for a company for 2 to 3, what, to now 5 years after their violation. And they don't even have, like, a traffic violation. It is just a, you know, what they would consider a violation of just doing something on your off time in which there was no indication that you were actually intoxicated. However, your quality as a driver has been diminished. Wrongfully. Wrongfully. And how do they explain these stats that you know, we've had more accidents? Maybe because the shortage on drivers, companies are taking more risks. They're taking more risks now. And the risk seems to fall in the hands of a lot of these companies with just rushing drivers out there, dealing with the lack of experienced drivers. On top of, I also want to say, drivers being forced, and I don't want to say being forced, however, a lot of them would say they're forced because they are not able to engage in smoking marijuana. So a lot of them as a substitute, because granted, they do things, people do things recreational. It is what it is. But drivers are forced to drink alcohol now because they cannot engage in smoking marijuana. They will drink alcohol. And again, I believe alcohol is going to debilitate and put more debilitating drivers out there on the road. You're going to get more fatalities because drivers are not able to smoke and they're going to drink alcohol. The driver that was, I believe, with the I want to say the Trident company, that driver, after, you know, killing 3 people or whatever the case may be, obviously there was other issues with that company because they were using an offshore company to kind of help, you know what I mean, modify the logs and, you know, different deceptions with, you know, telling, you know, officers that may pull them over, whatever, you know, they were able to manipulate logs through that process by the help of this offshore company, you know, as far as dealing with the logs. Now, that is definitely another issue, but a lot of those issues can be related to drivers, companies not having enough drivers, drivers feeling like they have to drive longer, all the way to manipulating logs so that they can drive longer. So, and these guys who they drink just to probably, you know, and I don't want to say stay up, but I'm saying that a lot of drivers are going to drinking. You're turning, if you, and it doesn't even matter if you have drivers who are not currently in this business. Coming into this business as a driver, if they are not able to smoke marijuana on their off time, they know that it is, in, you know, pretty easy for them to actually probably drink and get away with it. You're forcing more drivers to drink. It's just the bottom line. More drivers are going to be more amped to drink, even if they decide that, you know, they're not able to smoke marijuana on their off time. They're going to be able to get alcohol. That's something that they realize that, hey, I can, even though it's wrong, you got to be responsible with whatever you do. I'm just simply saying, because of how strict, you know, they are with you doing things on your off time when you are at home, and they know how long marijuana lingers in your system, they are going to say, you know what, I'll just drink alcohol. And to me, that is far more dangerous, you know, situation. You shouldn't do anything while you're in the truck, but I think that is just another situation that, you know, that is put before them, because they're going to do it. You know, drivers, when they get off of work and they can't go home and have a joint, and when they're out there on the road, they're already stressed out. They're stressed out already as it is. So they can't wind down. There's no winding down for them when they went home. It's like back at work. So when they're out there, they probably engage in alcohol. You know, because they know it don't linger. However, even though it don't linger in your system, the fact of the matter is that it is a lot more debilitating when one do decide to drink alcohol. It's a lot. It puts them in a situation where they're a lot more debilitated. So, you know, as far as these numbers going up, as far as accidents are concerned, I'm really not surprised. You know what I mean? I am really, really not surprised of it. You know, I kind of, you know, that's something that I kind of, you know, predicted, you know, when they decided to, do this clearinghouse thing, and you look at the numbers of the overwhelming amount of individuals that are out just due to marijuana, I'm not surprised at that. You got a lot of safe drivers that are sitting at home, or, you know, in other fields, obviously. You have a lot more safe, you have a lot of safe drivers that you're forcing out of the business. You have a lot more safe drivers that are being forced out of the business just because of what they choose to do on their off time. They have been penalized for what they do on their off time. And I think every year, 420, every year, drivers need to park their truck in, you know, support of those drivers that are out, who are being disenfranchised, who are, you know, getting their license diminished to operator license for when they already earned that license. They earned it. They had to pay for it. They had to go to school. They earned it. They don't have bad driving records. They just have a situation on pre-employment, which should not be held against them in that manner, whereas they can't go. They got a companies can't hire them. Why is it that, like, if it takes them whatever amount of time it takes them to go through their process, their return to duty status, why are companies judging them on and holding out on them in for 5 years? You know, this is things that they don't tell you. A lot of drivers are probably, you know, becoming aware of this now just by the overwhelmingly amount of SAP drivers who face these challenges. Because to me, I just feel like once you go and you do what you need to do, you're already telling drivers they can't do something on their off time. It shouldn't be held against them once they have, you know, went through their return to duty status. It shouldn't be held against them. Companies shouldn't be saying, oh, they can't touch them for 5 years or 3 years, or there shouldn't be anything held against them because they were not actually involved in anything as far as the truck was concerned. You know, even if it's a pre-employment situation or even if it's a random situation, if it was not directly involved as far as an accident, it shouldn't be held against them. You know, and quite frankly, none of these people situations were involving an accident. You got all these drivers out and 100,000 drivers out, over 100 some thousand drivers out, that had nothing to do with them being involved in an accident. They're just out due to the drug testing situation. It has absolutely nothing to do with them involving the truck itself. They shouldn't be judged against that, particularly if they have taken the steps to do what they need to do, and then they wonder why this is not an attractive business, you know, for people. And I'm glad there are a lot of companies that are not trucking companies, but there are cases where people still have to operate situations, you know, like, you know, they still have to drive, they have to still operate, you know, things that could be, you know, harmful. A lot of these places, they don't test for marijuana anymore. They don't even test for marijuana because they realize that it's not that serious. Now, am I saying you should be in a truck smoking? No. Am I saying that you should be drinking alcohol while you're driving? No. But however, alcohol is definitely going to be an easier access. And you're going to continuously get drivers out there on the road, and you're going to have continuous accidents based off people drinking alcohol now because of what they had decided to do with this clearinghouse. I think it should be defunded. You know, I don't agree with it. You know, do I agree with safety? Yes, but I don't agree with them controlling people's lives on their all time. And I don't agree with them attacking their way of life and their way of their potential earnings just because of something that they choose to do on their off time. It doesn't have any direct effect to what they, you know, they wasn't accused of anything outside of, you know, them coming in for pre-employment and being dirty. That's it. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of situations that is unjust regarding the clearinghouse and the SAP, the payment, the amount of time that they keep you on there. They're monitoring you as if you're a criminal. They're treating you as if you are a criminal, a person that is on probation because you were out, you know, doing something criminal. You know, that's how they're treating you. And to me, again, I've always said that I feel like it's more of a cultural, economic divide, which to me is discriminatory. It's a cultural, economic, discriminatory divide. It has nothing to do with safety. Economic, cultural discrimination divide. This to me has everything to do with discrimination more than it has to do with safety. Because there's no stats. It's just other than the fact that it's those people versus actually statistical stacks. There's a lot of pre-assumption. There's a lot of judgment and a lot of assumption, but there's no actual consequences behind the judgment. So I can't help but to believe that it's more about, you know, the powers to be and the politics involved just to, you know, attack a certain group of cultural, a certain culture of people, which, again, in my opinion, is definitely discriminatory. And I can understand why someone also may feel that way. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you get somebody to drink alcohol on the weekends, that does not necessarily mean they deserve SAP. That doesn't mean that they deserve to go to a SAP program, because alcohol is the one thing that's very minimum on the list, on the chart sheet as far as people that are sitting out for, when you probably have an overwhelmingly amount of drivers out there to drink and drive in trucks. It's like I said, it's just a lag time in which it's out of your system, and you know, you don't have to worry about it. I think that accidents are related more to the clearinghouse now than anything. And we definitely need to get our bridges safe for drivers who have to drive over these bridges and cross these bridges. I think a lot more money should be put into infrastructure, modernizing things, making sure that the way we travel is safe. You know, I think that is more important. No matter what people do, you have to do it responsibly. No matter what it is you do, you have to do it responsibly. You know, it's no different than a person owning a weapon, and you have to be responsible with that just as well. You know, I mean, you could take a person and give them, you know, something like that, and they can just misuse it and do things irresponsibly. So everything we do involves being responsible. And that's no different than something that's pretty much recreational all over the states, including, you know, the benefits of reducing people's stress level and anxiety, health benefits, in a lot of ways, seizures. if you get any like Tylenol, anything over the counter, and you know something that is used for the benefit of good, you can buy anything and use it and abuse it in a sense. So everything we do involves just being responsible about how we do it, how we use it. Hopefully, they will actually get a law passed where they will do away with the clearinghouse altogether, in my opinion. But however, I didn't mean the clearinghouse, but do away with the urinalysis test and allow truck drivers to basically do their thing on the weekend and it don't be held against them. And you're not taking good truck drivers out of the business and you're not, you know, depriving, you know, them and their right to take care of their families out of the business because they do choose to smoke a joint on the weekend instead of have some whiskey or wine or beer or something like that. That's just what they don't choose to do. And over my years of seeing people who drink, alcohol just has a lot more effect on you and it's also a lot more debilitating. They allow people to smoke weed, then you're going to get people that's not going to want to actually drink alcohol. I've seen drivers, I've heard drivers say they don't want it. They're tired of drinking alcohol because it's going to screw up their liver. And you mix drinking alcohol with having to sit in a truck all the time and drive. And the risk factors of alcohol. And drivers already don't get the kind of exercise they need. However, now they're drinking. And drinking is more of a depressant. You know, drinking, if you're already out there on the road and you feel like you're not getting treated fairly, and most drivers do feel that. Most drivers feel like they're being treated unfairly anyway as a driver, underpaid. You drink alcohol, your mind is going to be more on that, on how unfair you are being treated as an alcohol. You know what they say, when you drink alcohol, it makes you tell the truth. And you're going to dwell on that and think about it more. Marijuana, I think, opens you up. It makes you a little bit more alert. It makes you a little bit more attentive. It makes you a lot more careful. You're not irate. You're not driving ridiculously. You're paying. You're more conscious. Again, there's not no statistics out there that just shows that people are just being careless out there on the road because they had something in their system, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or, you know, prior to. That's just not happening. Most of the accidents there are occurring due to alcohol. So I wish they would, like, for one, they need to hurry up and get something in place and get rid of, you know, the urinalysis test. Allow those drivers who are CDL holders to continue to keep their CDLs because you never know how valuable these people are going to be to this industry in the future, to just clearly take away their right to drive because they don't want to deal with something, because they don't feel they have a problem, because this is what they choose to do on their off time, and you're just gonna clearly state that they have a substance abuse problem, and they could have been smoking marijuana for years and been totally responsible and taking care of their business. How can you just label that and throw that on somebody and make them go and spend money to take a class or something in a way of abuse when they know how hard they worked and there's no proof of any abuse? It just does not seem fair. It doesn't even make sense. And now you want to force these drivers to go and see some type of counselor for a problem that they don't even have. But yet open the door for more alcoholics to be on the road. And again, nobody should do anything while you're in that truck. But, however, it does open the door for drivers to be able to drink, because it opens that door. Again, next year, next 420, every driver needs to park. This need to be a thing that needs to occur for the coming years. Every driver need to park their truck for 420 in support, particularly in support for these drivers who are being forced out of the industry due to this crazy law. You know, and when there's no proof of harm, there's not like a mad crazy proof of any harm done. And again, I honestly can say I'm glad about the law that came in effect, because to me that just took like a lot of control out of companies' hands and kind of put the control back in the driver's hands when you got companies are hiring you kind of like as an in-house contractor. Like, how is that done? You know, as an independent contractor, you should be able to go work for anybody. You're not, like, they're kind of obscuring the lines there when they have you there working there, because and deem you as an independent contractor, so they don't have to worry about the taxes. You got to worry about your taxes. So you got to run your butt off to pay for a truck that the company that's dispatching you leased to you. You know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't make sense. They got that hold on you, but you're considered an independent contractor, but you cannot go and drive for, you know, you can't go and dispatch your own loads. Your loads got to be directly dispatched through the company that leased you the truck, and you're considered an owner-operator. You're paying higher taxes and stuff. So it makes sense that you would be an employee or a independent contractor or owner-operator, in which they have no control over who you deliver for, as well as you're not paying them directly on that lease purchase. If that makes sense to, you know, to you owner operators out there and drivers who look to get into a lease situation like that within a company, I would say no. I would say you don't want to do that, in my opinion. So again, I appreciate you guys listening to me. This is A1. Everybody be safe, be responsible, diversity all the way, and appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Peace.